Especially those that are visiting with us, or as our Patriot Sunday, and we are thankful for all the first responders that are here. We're thankful everyone's here, but excited about them coming and being a part of our service. I know there's a few in the back that are teaching our young people or our children back there during their rally time, and thankful for those. We're going to recognize them here in a little while. Today's service is going to be aimed around rescuing, and that's with remembering September 11th and all those different things. We're going to do that throughout the service, but we're just glad you're here today. We want to begin with a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the service today. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for the opportunity to come into your house today. Lord, we pray that you bless the service. Thankful for all the different things that you provide for us. And thankful for those who help protect and those that help serve our communities. And Lord, we're thankful for all those that are recognized as first responders that are here today. What a blessing and encouragement is to see all of them. Lord, we pray that you help us honor them today. Help us also remember what happened back on 9/11 many, many years ago. And Lord, we pray that you help the service be an encouragement to all that are here. And Lord, that you would help, Lord, speak to our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're able to, we ask you to stand with us. Brother Jim's going to come lead us in our song service.
Let the Lord have his way in your life every day. There's no rest, there's no peace till the Lord has his way. Place your life in his hands, rest secure.
Song is Rescue the Perishing. If you want to use your hymnal number 7070, we're going to sing all four verses. Rescue the Perishing.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. Weep for the erring one, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Though they are slighting him, still he is waiting, waiting the penitent child to receive. Plead with them earnestly, plead with them gently. He will forgive if they only be. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save. Down in the human heart, crushed by the tempter, feelings like bearing that grace can restore. Touched by a loving heart, wakened by kindness, horns that are broken will vibrate once more. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
Last verse.
Rescue the perishing, duty demands it. Strength for thy labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful, Jesus will save.
You may be seated.
As we get ready to have our choir sing, we chose some of these songs on purpose. So the reason Rescue the Perishing is we're thankful for all those who do a part in helping rescue those that are in need. Also, the first choir song is called The Value of One, talking about how God cares in each individual. Everyone is important. It talks about in the book of Acts how there was a great revival and lots of people were getting right with the Lord, and how God took Philip and sent him to just one man, the Ethiopian eunuch that was traveling back home. And he would leave a great group of people that was getting right to just reach one. And how I know many times when we consider those that we're rescuing and that we are helping, the value of one person is so important. So we're thankful for those that make the value of one important. And also, the second song talks about how we love America. So as our choir sings these two songs, we hope you enjoy it.
he needs is a willing servant to simply do his part. Can you imagine up in heaven the joy there is that day? As the sinner bows his head to pray, can you hear the Father say?
Circumstruction of his mansion, there an hour
Next one we're going to sing is a very familiar hymn, Amazing Grace. 314 in your hymnal, we're going to sing verses 1 through 3. 314, Amazing Grace.
Once again, welcome to Faith Baptist Church. Birthdays of the week. It's Miss Kathy's birthday on the 17th, Jenna Schumann's birthday on the 17th also. So thank you. Happy birthday to them. As we mentioned earlier, it's our Patriot Sunday. We'll be having a little bit of time honoring our first responders here in a few minutes. Also, we're having a meal right after the morning service. We encourage everyone to stay that's able to. We have barbecue back there. They spent yesterday cooking the barbecue. We have North Carolina-style barbecue, and then we also have the, I don't know what you call it, the northern barbecue, or the ones with the red sauce. I know I'm from up in Maryland, and that we only had the red sauce. When I got here the first time, I took a bite of the other one, and I didn't know what it was, but I've learned to, over the last 19 years, to love it and enjoy it. And when I go back there, I'm going to get a little bit of both, probably. So other announcements going on. Baby showers coming up for Nicole Temple on the 24th. Also on the 24th, we have our outreach Saturday that day, too. Choir conference and Bible conference are coming up. The dates are in your bulletin. And our next big day, we'll have a meal after the service, is Friend Day. That's October 16th. Looking forward to a great day that day, too. So mark that on your calendar and be praying for that. Brother Tim Smart, Pastor Tim Smart, is going to be here preaching for us today. We're going to have our ushers come forward. We take an offering every single Sunday, so don't feel obligated to give, especially for our visitors. We're thankful you're our honored guest today. We did not ask you to come just for you to give. We're just thankful that you're here today. So let's go ahead and ask the Lord's blessing. One of our first responders from our church is Mr. Bateman. He was in law enforcement for many, many years, and thankful for all that he does. Mr. Bateman, will you ask the Lord's blessing on the offering, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time that we can just play. I thank you, dear Heavenly Father, for everything you bestowed upon me as Spartan, as a firefighter and dispatcher, and then ending 30 years of law enforcement. I thank you for your perfection, your guidance, dear Heavenly Father, and just everything you've bestowed each and every one of us, having carried us through trials and tribulations, and just things we can't understand, dear Heavenly Father. We just give you all honor and glory for the protection, and just please be with each and every one of the first responders, dear Heavenly Father. Give them guidance through their careers, through their lives. Just bless the gift and give them in Jesus' name.
Amen. Amen.
Thank you. is standing ready to answer danger's call.
The first responder's life is on the line for all.
A life on the line, responding to each call. Heroes standing ready to sacrifice their all.
Blessings from your hand
upon these noble walls that sacred at our land.
At our land.
Dear God, you sent your Son to rescue us from sin.
Comes from you, Lord, a gift from heaven above.
Please grant us peace and grace and fill us with your love.
A life on the line, responding to each call. Heroes standing ready to sacrifice their all.
Our hope is renewed.
Rescue. Well, let's sing a song about rescuing. Throw out the lifeline. 138. Throw out the lifeline. Sing verses 1 and 3.
Throw out the lifeline across the dark wave. There is a brother whom someone should save. Somebody's brother.
And
Amen. So we're going to take a few moments and honor our first responders that are here. And we're also got a short video that we're going to watch in remembrance of 9/11, also talking about the different people that made a big difference on that day. So what we're going to ask, if you're willing to, if you are a first responder, now this is someone who is currently serving in that way, or someone who's retired from doing it, or someone who's done it in the past, and we're going to, so the law enforcement, firefighting, volunteer firefighters, also EMTs, paramedics, and dispatchers. I know in some forms, in some ways, many ways, especially our Coast Guard, are our first responders, and we're going to honor them on Veterans Day. So today we're going to focus on the law enforcement, which includes different agencies, and then also firefighters, paramedics, EMTs, their dispatchers, anybody else that I might have missed. So if you're willing to, we ask that you stand so we can recognize you. If you are a part of law enforcement, paramedics, or firefighters. And I'm not going to, let's go ahead and give them a round of applause. We would love to know what agencies that you're from, if you're willing to. Now, I'm good with every single person saying who their name is and what they do, or if you just want to have one person from the group tell us where you're from, that would be great. We do have a cup that we're going to give out here as soon as we get done. It's red, white, and blue. Obviously, you have it's a steel tumbler. It's got a spot for a straw or a sip spot. It's a really nice cup, and we just want to say we're thankful for all that you do. In a world that we live in today where a lot of people don't appreciate what you do, we're thankful for what you do. And I know my dad was in law enforcement. Dad was in law enforcement for over 30 years in Elkton, Maryland. And I'm thankful for what he did. And I know what it's like for you and for your families and all that you do. We're very thankful. So if this group over here, you're welcome to take it over there. It's fine. You can tell us where you're from. That would be wonderful. And like I said, everyone can talk. I think the guy on the end is going to be the guy that talks. They're all pointing at him. So go ahead.
We're with Passportain Camden EMS.
Thank you very much.
We're with Elizabeth City Fire Department.
You got Mr. Bateman back there and also Sheriff Wooten, too.
Thank you. Tommy Wooten, Sheriff, right here at Pasquotank County.
Mr. Bateman also.
Roy Bateman, retired state, North Carolina.
Anybody we missed? Okay, if you can go ahead and pass out those cups to these people. So, only people that want to be recognized, Brother Jim. Go ahead and start passing out the cups. Please, thank you. Thank you for your service there. It'll take a second or two, and after that, we're going to introduce a short video. Let's give them one last round of applause. Thank you for being here. Sometimes as a pastor, you're if you didn't want the cup, you didn't have to throw it. So sometimes as a pastor, you're expected to know exactly what to say and what to do. And sometimes you don't always have the right words. And sometimes we use a short video that tries to express how many of us felt what happened on 9/11 and all the different things that this day means to so many of us. And we don't want to forget. And we want to remember and how it brought us together as a nation. And the one thing that impressed me, and I remember watching, I didn't watch it live. I was on the way home either going home. I worked a midnight shift. I was in Bible college, and I was traveling back, either headed towards Bible college or to go home and get some sleep. And I remember listening to the radio and someone saying that there had been an airplane that flew into one of the Twin Towers, and then while they were talking, it happened again. And that day changed a lot of things for a lot of people. And watching the videos, I saw so many people running out of the towers and running out, but then I saw others that were running in. And that just, it's mind-blowing. So when you think about it, those that were willing to go. And most of them were first responders. Obviously, when we talk about Patriot Sunday, it's not just our first responders. There's many people that can be patriotic and do many things on that day. And today, we're recognizing them. But we're thankful for everyone who loves our country and loves for those things that would stand for it and want to fight for it. I remember Marshall Creech, and I only mention him because most of you know Mr. Marshall. Miss Lou died here. Passed away here recently, and I remember Marshall that day, and he struggled with a lot of different things, health-wise and other things, but when he saw what happened, he called 911, and he said he wanted to sign up to go fight. So he was in his 80s, he has Parkinson's disease, he wasn't always all there mentally, he had struggles just sharing things, and he was a nice man, but that was his reaction. He wanted to know what he could do to help. So we have a short video here, and I know it pales in comparison how we feel, but at the same time, at least gives a little bit of a idea and brings back some memories and also helps us understand some of the important things that happened that day.
Most of us remember that day. It's etched in our minds, a permanent reminder of tragedy. We all watched helplessly as lives were lost, heroes were born, and a nation was forever changed. The loss was unimaginable, the sorrow unbearable. But through that pain, we witnessed the resolve of a nation. We saw chaos give birth to courage, fear transform into fortitude, and destruction give way to determination. In the midst of the brokenness, freedom stood immovable. Today, we remember those we lost. We honor the heroes who saved so many and grieve with the families who have suffered so much. We still remember, and we will never forget.
As we come to the message portion of the section of the service today, I'm going to open our Bibles up, if you have a Bible, with you, John chapter number 3. If you do not have a Bible, there's a Bible sitting in between the hymn books if you'd like to follow along. And John chapter number 3, the message for those that are part of our church family is going to be a little shorter than normal because of the different things we've done part of the service. But in John chapter number 3, I'd like to preach a message that I've entitled, The Greatest Rescue, The Greatest Rescue. And I spent the week looking through different rescues, and there's some amazing stories out there. As it talked about the value of one with the song, that how one soul, one individual was worth so much work and so much effort, and how there's many that have gone through great pains and stakes just to be able to rescue just one. And I call this the greatest rescue, and the reason why I call it the greatest rescue is for two reasons. Number one, because it's the greatest amount of people that had a need. The second one reason is because of the greatest reason to rescue someone. The word rescue means to, if you looked it up on Google or on the internet, because, you know, everything, if it's on the internet, it's got to be right, but usually definitions aren't that bad. Rescue means to save someone from a dangerous or distressing situation. Also, the definition of an act of saving or being saved from danger or distress. We think about back on 9/11 that there was almost 3,000 people that died because of the terrorist attacks. over 2,700 that were killed in New York, over 184 in the Pentagon, and we also think about those 40 in Pennsylvania. And it humbles us to realize that when they went to work that day or when they boarded that flight, they were expecting to go home. They were expecting to land. They were not expecting to enter eternity within that time period. And the Bible tells us, boast not thyself of tomorrow. It's because we don't know what tomorrow holds. And I'm thankful for people who put their lives on the line in order to help protect, to serve, and to rescue others. And I'm thankful for the opportunity to be able to talk about the greatest one who performed the greatest rescue, which is Jesus Christ. You say, why would you call it the greatest rescue? Most of us know probably the most famous verse in all the Bible is John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And so, Pastor, why would you say it's the greatest rescue? Because it's for the world. It's for everyone. And when he says, for God so loved the world, the idea there for the world was that there is each and every single person that God would give his Son to die on the cross for us and for our sins. You say, well, Jesus, who was God, God's Son, God became flesh for us. And some people think, oh, he came to perform great miracles. He did. He came to teach us great lessons. He did. He came to show us how to live. He did. But the main reason why he came, he tells us in Luke 19:10. And it says, Jesus himself said, for the Son of Man is come to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to this world. God became man to seek and to save the lost. He came to this world because there was no other way to save those that were dying in their sins. You say, Pastor, I hear what you're saying, but what do we need to be saved from? Let's read John 3:15, and we're going to read all the way down to verse 18. There's a word there I want you to take special notice of. It says that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Let's have a word of prayer and ask the Lord's blessing on the message. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today. Lord, we're thankful for everyone that's here, especially thankful for those that are visiting. We know there's people from out of town that are visiting relatives. We know that there's new people that came today from our van routes. Lord, we know that there's first responders that are here, and we're just thankful for what they do. And Lord, we pray that the message today go across crystal clear to each and every person that's here. Thank you for giving us a way to be rescued. And Lord, I pray you speak to our hearts. If there's someone here today that does not know you as personal Savior, Lord, I pray they come to a understanding of their need. And Lord, that by faith they would turn to you and believe and trust in you. In Jesus' name, amen. It's a fairly simple message, but it might be something that's new and different for others that have maybe never heard. Many people I meet and I talk to, we go out and we canvass, we talk to people all the time, and they talk about the Bible, they talk about the scriptures, and they talk about things that they say they believe the Bible. And I ask them, do you believe that all the Bible is true? And most of the time they say yes. And then I say, if I can show you from the Bible what the Bible says about an individual and a person and the need they have, could I do that? And so that's what I'd like to do today, is show you what I believe the Bible tells us we all have a need. In verse 16 and verse 15, there's the word perish there. It uses the phrase, should not perish. So when it's saying should not perish, it means that we are perishing. You say, of course we're all perishing. We're all dying. Our physical bodies someday will leave, will die, and most of us will be put into a grave. But the Bible speaks of not only a body, a physical body, but it speaks of a spirit and a soul, and that our spirit and soul will live forever somewhere. The Bible represents two different places where they'll be. It's either a place called heaven or a horrible place called hell. And it's something that when he uses the word should not perish, it's the idea that we're all perishing. If you look in verse number 18, it says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. There is a connection there. They're saying here that all of us, for God so loved the world, we're all perishing. And to give a picture of it, I like to use the illustration as we're all on a road. According to what the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All of us are headed to a horrible place called hell. According to what the scripture says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And as we're headed that way, we have no way to get off that road on our own. We have no strength, no power to take ourselves from that road. But the Bible says that God commendeth his love, meaning he proved and demonstrated, he showed his love, that while he saw all mankind headed to that horrible place, that Christ died for us. As sinners, he died for us. He didn't die for himself. He didn't have to die. He was not a sinner. He died for sinners. For all have sinned. That's who he died for, was all of us. And he has made a way. And the Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse number 9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. He has made a way that you can be saved off that pathway to that horrible place called hell. And that's what Jesus Christ came in the world to die for us. That's when you see in verse 16, for God, the greatest one, so loved the world. It's the greatest reason to rescue someone is out of love. That he gave his only begotten son. He gave the greatest gift, that whosoever believeth in him, the greatest audience, the greatest opportunity, believeth in him, should not perish. So we are perishing, and if we will put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ and what he's done on that cross, the Bible says that we can be rescued. That's when it uses the word shall be saved in verse 17. He didn't come into the world to condemn the world. He didn't come to the world to say, hey, you're wrong. The world already knew that. He came into the world to save people. Verse 18, it kind of blows away most other people's thinking when it comes to the Bible and who goes to heaven and who doesn't. Verse 18 says, for he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already. Most people think that when they get to heaven or to the afterlife, they'll say this: I've done this much good, God's got to let me into heaven. And they believe it's going to be something like this. There's going to be a judgment, and then that judgment, there's going to be a scale. And that scale, if my good outweighs my bad, then I get the chance to go into the pearly gates. According to what verse 18 says, though, we're all condemned already. The Bible says that we've all been put before a judge, and as that judge, we already have been the judgment has been cast. And the only hope that we have is for someone to rescue us. The only hope we have is for someone to save us. And that's what it's talking about in verse number 18. He that believeth not is condemned already. So Romans chapter 13 has a wonderful promise. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord. That means anyone. Everyone has the opportunity. It doesn't matter where you're from, what country you're from, what race you are, how much money you have or how much money you don't have. All those things. For whosoever, that word, shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So this morning, I want to ask you a question. If you died today, do you know where you would go? Because the Bible tells us that you can know that you have eternal life. And what my desire is to whet your interest, is to give you an understanding of what the Scripture says, that God loved us so much for the greatest reason that a person can be rescued is because out of a love that God loved us so much that he sent his son down to die on the cross for us. We had a need, and that need was the sin that we have. You say, Pastor, you use that word sin. What does sin mean? Sin means anything that would go against God's desire for our life. Sin, if you go back to the Ten Commandments, nobody can keep the Ten Commandments, but have you ever told a lie? Have you ever stolen anything? The Bible even takes it a step farther than those Ten Commandments. It says, has you even had a wrong thought? Have you ever done any of those things? And if so, because of that sin must be punished, that sin must be judged. But God saw that and God knew that and God sent his son to die for us. And all we have to do is in faith, turn to him and put our faith and trust in him. Should not perish. What a great promise. Perish is a word that we should tremble at, but perish is a word that many people ignore. Perish is a word that is said, if you stay, you're not going to make it. As I was studying through some of the different rescues, one of the ones that came up on the rescue was back in 2005 when they were flying helicopters in New Orleans after the hurricane, and how many times they would go to someone and they would ask them, hey, look, we need to get you out of here. It's not safe. It's not safe. And they refuse to be saved. They want to stay. They want to stay. They want to stay. And they, even though that they would have people repeatedly go and say, it's dangerous to be here, and some chose to stay, and some lost their lives because they refused to be rescued. And this morning, what I'm saying is that God has offered a way, God has given us a way of salvation. He has given us a way to be rescued off that road, off that pathway that we're all headed down. I was on that pathway. Every individual that has ever been born, with the exclusion of Jesus Christ because he was virgin born and that sin was not passed down upon him, every individual is in need of being rescued. And that's why we call it the greatest rescue. Jesus came on that to search and to save, to rescue us from our sins, to pay our sin debt for us. So today, is this something that you're willing to believe and trust in him? You go back and you look at the scripture, it says that whosoever believeth in him. Say, Pastor, of course I believe in a God. We all believe in a God. Everybody, not everyone does, but most do. But what is it that you believe about him? Because there's a lot of different religions out there that will say, hey, do you believe in this and do you believe in that? And they believe this about Jesus and they believe that about Jesus, or they believe this about their God. There are some, in the name of their God, flew the planes into those Twin Towers. And they did something they thought they were doing in the name of their God. I know that doesn't recognize, but that's what they did, and they served their God. And it is a interesting thing, but Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. That there is only one way to heaven. I know the popular topic today is, oh, there's all different types of way to heaven. You can do good works. You can believe in this religion. You can believe in this religion, this religion. But the Jesus of the Bible, God's Son who came to seek and to save that which was lost, said there is only one way to heaven, and that's through him. This morning, I'm wondering, have you ever put your faith and trust in him? Have you ever saw yourself as a sinner in need of a Savior? Because that's what the Bible talks about this God, this way, is that we all must recognize ourselves as sinners and see that we're a sinner and in need of a Savior, and we cry out to God. By faith, no longer trusting in ourselves, we trust in the Lord. I told, the church knows the story about me. I was rescued one time. When I was out, I was going to Pensacola Christian College. I went down there, and I don't like swimming. I don't like the ocean. I know people do, but I was there. My brother took me down there, so I was going to go with him. So I went out there. We went swimming, and I guess the current underneath took me out farther than I thought it was going to be. And I turned around, and I looked around, couldn't see the shore. Couldn't see my brother. Couldn't see any. A few minutes later, this lady lifeguard came up. Talk about a humbling experience. She came up and says, you want some help? I wanted to say no. I said, no, I got this. Just point me the right way. And I said, I do need some help. And I was rescued. She even used her little orange thing. She didn't have to drag me in. I wasn't drowning to that point. I just didn't know how to get back to the thing. I was rescued. Now, could I have gotten back? Maybe. Of course, in my mind, I like to think I could have. But in all reality, that day, I was in distress, and I had a need, and I recognized that need. Now, in my flesh, I didn't want to tell the lady, no, I'm good. Go ahead and go back and then just follow her, because I didn't want to admit that I had a need. But a person, when they truly become a Christian or they get saved, when they're rescued, is when they realize they have a need. That the Bible, the God of the Bible, says, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. The Bible tells us that we need a Savior, that we cannot save ourselves. For by grace are you saved, through faith, that not of yourselves, not of works, lest any man should boast. There was a day when I was 9 years old, I saw that need. I grew up in church my whole entire life, but at 9, God spoke to my heart, convicted me of my sin, and says, you need that. I went forward. I accepted Christ as my personal Savior. I was baptized that night, and I was thankful for being baptized, but baptism doesn't save you. It says, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So my encouragement today to you is, realize we all have a need. And if you've ever tried to rescue someone before, if they don't realize they have a need, then they're not going to accept the help that they need. Those from Hurricane Katrina were known for saying, no, 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 I'm good. And then many of them perished if they never received the help they needed. Jesus Christ came to this world to pay the sin debt that we could never pay. And there is a great reason why he did that. He did that because he loved all of us. As a choir sang, there is a value of one. You might say, hey, God doesn't love every person. He does. He loves every individual. He even says he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. This morning, would you turn to him? And I'm not saying something to say, hey, you're horrible, you're wicked, you need to do this. I'm saying this because I was in that spot. We've all been in that spot. And if we haven't accepted Christ as the Savior, you know what? You're still in that spot. We're in need of being rescued. But the lifeline is there, as the song talked about. Throw out the lifeline. Rescue the perishing. And I want to encourage those that are believers in the room that already know Christ as their Savior, that have already been rescued off that road. Are you doing your part? We honor these first responders for the work they do because we're thankful for the fact that they're willing to give their lives for service and for the love of what they're doing and for others. And we're thankful for that. But as believers, are we going out and putting our life on the line to see others saved, to bring people to Christ? Because as they are saving physical lives, which is so important, we're talking about saving eternal souls that will last forever. And as you saw those that were running out of that, trying to get freed and rescued or saved from the towers, you saw that group that was going in, and you saw they had a mission, and their desire was to save those that were there that could not help themselves. And us believers, we have the truth of the gospel. We have tracts. We have the Bible that we can, instead of running away, we should be going out and telling others, there's something here that you need. This morning, do you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior? Have you ever accepted him and asked him to save you? The Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's pray. With heads bowed and eyes closed, I do want to ask you a couple questions, and if you'll bear with me, we're almost done. And these are personal questions, so I would ask that everyone please bow their head and close their eyes. Now, it's just between me and you and the Lord. You say, Pastor, I know what it means to be saved by the Lord. There has been a time in my life when I saw that I was a sinner. I needed Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. I know that. And I know if I die today, I'd go to heaven. Would you give testimony of that by raising your hand? Thank you. A lot of people that did not raise their hand. And I understand that sometimes some of the truth that's heard today, that this might be new to them. And I did want to give an opportunity. We would love to have somebody take a Bible and show anyone who would like to know how to become a Christian or learn more about what we've heard today and accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. What we'll do is, if you're a gentleman, we'll have a gentleman go in the back with you, take a Bible, and you can ask whatever questions you want about how to be saved and on your way to heaven. We'd love to have you do that. If you're a lady, we'll have a lady take a Bible and show you how you can be saved and on your way to heaven. This morning, is there anyone in the room, whether you've been here 10 times, 100 times, or this is your first time here, that say, hey, Pastor, I would like to have somebody talk to me about how to become a Christian. Is there anybody that would, by uplift a hand, say, hey, I'd like to talk to somebody about that? Anybody at all? Okay. One more question, we'll be done. To those who know that they're, they say, hey, I'm not a Christian or a believer, you say, hey, Pastor, I recognize that I'm a sinner and that I realize I have a need. I don't want to talk to anybody yet, but would you pray for me? Would you raise your hand? Thank you. Anybody else? Thank you. Anybody else? Dearly Father, Lord, we're thankful for today, thankful for your word. God, I pray you speak to our hearts. Help us to reach those that understand they have a need. I know there's a lot of times these are things that we've heard for the first time, and we don't even recognize the need that's there. And God, I don't want in any way, shape, or form for individuals to miss the opportunity to know you. It's the greatest thing that's ever happened in my life. I know many would give that testimony. And Lord, I also pray for the believers in the room. Speak to our hearts, Lord, about rescuing others. We are look at these that put their lives on the line, and we are so thankful that we have them, and we're so thankful for the protection they offer. But God, help us to do our part. You've sent us out to be part of the Great Commission to reach those that do not know you. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to have a time of invitation. You say, what's an invitation? An invitation is a time where we